in this past fall. And we met at another addict's house at a party, and she and I sat down in the kitchen and immediately connected. And that is what I love about this fellowship. Her vulnerability, her honesty, and her willingness to always help people in the program is what makes her a very powerful speaker and an asset to this fellowship. So without taking up any more of her time, I give you Dominae.
Give me just a second to connect with my higher power and center myself. All right, my name's Dominae and I'm an addict.
Hey, Dominae.
Woo, y'all, like, in my mind, 9:15, what, nobody gonna be in here, right? It was gonna be, like, just a couple of us, right? But it's a full packed house, right? And so, like, I, like, want to throw up right now. I was texting some addicts back home, like, the room's packed! And I'm like, fuck! So just pray for me while I'm up here. Again, my name is Dominae and I'm an addict. My clean date is April the 4th, 27th, 2020. By the grace of God, I will have 6 years clean this year. I got connected with Mo through another addict, and it's kind of crazy, right, because my parents live in Huntsville, and so whenever the addict reached out, she was like, girl, we got this convention, and we need to go, and you're going to speak. I'm like, who's going to speak? I ain't asked to speak. They asked you to speak. But, you know, my higher power has a funny way of working, right? So when Mo called and gave me the topic, I laughed, because I was like, when I say yes and God says no, and I was like, well, God, what am I going to talk about, right? Like, I had no idea. In the past couple weeks, he literally said, here you go. Here you go, babe. So when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I used to live. I had a drug problem. I didn't know that the disease of addiction was started in my thinking, right? I didn't know that, like, I didn't have a moral deficiency, right? I thought that something was wrong with me and I could not fucking stop using, right? And I had this thought that just because I wasn't doing this drug or doing that drug, like, oh, I ain't a fucking addict. Y'all got me fucked up, right? But when I went and I heard the message of recovery and I heard, no, it has to do with your thinking, I said, oh, bitch, you're fucked up, right? You think off the fucking hook, right? I had no control of my emotions. I was impulsive as fuck. I did anything and everything that I fucking wanted to do, right? I always said fucking yes to the drugs, right? I always said yes to the behavior that continuously kept taking me out, right? And so when I finally came to Narcotics Anonymous and I went to the treatment center up in Louisville, the Brook, and I heard the message of recovery, I stopped, right? And I said, oh, higher power, you're funny. Right, because like my plan was I'm gonna get out of here and go drink with the damn ambulance lady, right? Then exchange numbers and all that other crazy shit, and God said no. No. I have something else for you, right? I need for you to stop for a second, and I need for you to think. I need for you to pause, and I need for you to realize that I didn't just bring you here to go drink with the ambulance lady. I came here to give you some hope, right? Because I didn't go to treatment for drugs and alcohol, right? I went to treatment because I had postpartum. I had just sent my 4-year-old to the mental institution. And I didn't know what the fuck to do because his behavior was every fucking where. I didn't know what to do because I was getting my ass beat at home by his dad. I didn't know what to do because I had this 4-month-old baby. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on, God? Why the fuck do you have me right here, right? So I just went to get some relief to get my mental health together, right? Not realizing that my mental health had to do with the fucking substance that I continuously put in me. Right? So as I was in treatment and I get a phone call from my mom and she's like, CPS called. I'm like, CPS for what? What you mean CPS call? But I had to think back, right? Because before I went to treatment, I was working at the Ridge in Lexington, and I had said I wanted to unalive myself at a mental hospital. Dominic, that's dumb as hell. They're going to put you on a 72-hour hold, and they're going to keep your ass, and then they're going to ship you off because you got to get some fucking help, right? So as before that, let me back up, y'all. Me and my mom got in this altercation, right? Because I didn't know how to handle my own emotions, right? All I knew was anger and rage. I didn't know peace. I didn't know to be still. I didn't know not to react. All I knew was to react, right? So she pushes me and my daughter fall, right? So myself, I'm like probably one of the honest people you'll meet, and that's one thing I love about me. And I don't say that to gloat. I just say that because that's one of my assets today, right? So I tell the people, I'm like, well, my mom pushed me and my daughter fell. And they looked at me, and I was like, you're not going to tell anybody, are you? No, we're not. It's fine. Like I said, fast forward, CPS is calling, right? So when CPS calls, my mom's like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm about to get the fuck up out of here, though, because I got to get to my babies, right? So I was supposed to stay for 30 days, and I ended up staying for 13 days. So I go home, and now I'm dealing with CPS. So I did everything that CPS wanted me to do, right? I took the parenting classes. I went to meetings like y'all said, right? Because H&I came in. Shout out to H&I, right? Came into the hospital and they carried a clean message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I went to the meeting. I raised my hand and I said, I need fucking help. Right? Because when you ask for help, help becomes fucking available today for me, right? So I asked for some help, and what happened next was something I wasn't fucking ready for, right? I wasn't ready to get clean, right? Because again, I didn't believe I was a fucking addict, right? So then after I deal with CPS and they give me this case plan and they do all that shit, I'm still getting my ass beat. I'm coming into meetings with my face fucked up. I still am staying in situations that aren't doing well for me, right? Saying yes. When I say yes, right? Lowering my self-worth, right? Have no self-acceptance whatso-fucking-ever. Had no self-esteem whatso-fucking-ever. All I thought was, is this is what the fuck I deserve. Right, I deserve this shit because I don't deserve anything else. It's all I've ever fucking known, right? And so whenever I talk to CPS and I talk to my mom and I talk to my baby daddy, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess they're gonna go with my baby daddy right now, right? So they go with him. He's got this crazy ass girlfriend. Hell the fuck no. I keep coming back, right? COVID hits. So as COVID comes up, my birthday's coming up. I'm like, damn, my first birthday without using? Right, that's fucking weird, right? Because all I've known is to fucking use on my birthday, right? Turn up, right? So my birthday comes, and to find out my baby daddy's cheating on me in the process while I'm living in his fucking house, right? So I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm getting high. And that's what the fuck I did, right? 9 months, right? So by the grace of God, this is my second go around. And I haven't found it necessary to use, but I have to tell you that in that time that I fucking used, I did some degrading ass shit that made me believe I was a fucking addict that time, right? Okay. Right? Because when I say yes, God says no. No, ma'am, we're not going to use anymore, right? No. We're not going to continue going through this cycle, right? Because I've called you for better, right? But I didn't understand what the fucking better was yet, right? So I used for a month. I was in IOP, all the bullshit that I had to fucking do. Y'all talk about leaving old people places and things alone, right? When we first get here, right? I didn't, fuck you mean. I love these people. So I thought, right? I thought these people were my friends. I thought these guys loved me. I thought that I needed these people, right? And so what I did was, instead of going back to the dope, I constantly kept going back to the source of my fucking pain. I constantly kept going back to the dope men who was still selling dope, who was still using dope, and I kept having to go take these drug tests that for the CPS people, and I look up, and if you don't believe me, I promise you, I'm right here to tell you that my pee kept coming back dirty. I ain't fucking use a thing, right? Didn't nobody believe me? Didn't in my hometown nobody believe me? You need to pick up a white key tag, Dominae. Absolutely the fuck not. I'm not, right? And so in that moment, right, I knew that I had to do something fucking different, right? Like, I had to quit saying yes to the source of my pain. I had to quit saying yes to, okay, I just want to feel better for a minute, right? Like, I knew I had to go through the fucking process of some shit that I didn't want to fucking address, right? I had to go through the process of dealing with the molestation. I had to go through the process of continuously running out on my mama and daddy because I didn't want to listen to them. Right. And so as I started doing that, and I started working some steps, and I started realizing that I had some inward unmanageability that I had to fucking deal with. Outwardly, my life was fucking crazy, of course. Right. And so as I started dealing with that, right, I didn't do this shit perfect. So I not only once did my drug test come back clean for that shit, it came back one more time and another time. And so I'm like, God, what the fuck is going on? Well, quit laying down, Dominae. How about that? No. But God, it feels so good. So in this process, my cousin dies. The one person who believed in me outside of Narcotics Anonymous, the one person that loved me unconditionally, she died, right? 2 days after my second year clean. And by now, my mom has custody of my kids because we took away from my baby daddy because he had this bitch-ass girlfriend who had me completely fucked up. God, no, I'm going to beat her ass, and you're not going to stop me at this point, God, okay? So instead of me beating her ass, God, take my kids and give them to my fucking mama. And that's what he did. Okay, so then my kids moved to Alabama. It's kind of funny I'm here, right? So they moved to Huntsville. And again, I'm like, God, I thought you were going to give me my kids back. I've done all this work. Now I've got some time underneath my belt, right? But clean time don't equal fucking recovery. Right? And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, God, well, what the fuck else I gotta do? I want my fucking kids. Well, first of all, ma'am, they're not your kids. They're my kids, says God. Your kids have a God, just like you do. So I'm like, okay, God, fine. So that was 6 years ago, right? And so I'm a fast forward to today because whenever Mo called me with this topic again, like I said, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to talk about, right? So I went to Louisville a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I've really been going through with my mom when it comes down to my kids. I've really, like, been like, give me my fucking kids back at this point, right? I've been clean for some time, and I got some recovery under my belt, right? I've changed some things. I'm not acting out on some behaviors. I'm not laying down with any man who comes and says, hey, come get me. I'm not hanging out with the people who I thought loved me at this point. Like, I'm just kind of by myself. Right, and I didn't know how to do that because I dealt with fucking loneliness. I'm talking about being in a room with all y'all right now and still feeling like I'm still by my motherfucking self.
Yeah.
Right. And so now that I can sit still in God's presence, right, and I can sit still and I can have that conscious contact with my higher power, I'm a little bit okay, right? I don't have to look for anything outside of myself to fill that fucking void. And I'm telling y'all, I had to do some fucking work to get there, right? I had to have an active second step in my life, right? I had to have some addicts that I can call and restore me back to some fucking sanity. I had to have an active third step where I turn my will and my life over, right? Every fucking day. I had to surrender every every fucking second, right? Just to be able to sit down by myself today. Right? And so now as I'm sitting by myself, I'm like, okay, God, what are we doing next? Like, I need my fucking kids back. A mom without her kids, it feels fucking horrible, y'all. So ladies, if you don't have your kids, hold the fuck on. Ain't no reason to get fucking high today, right? And so as I'm holding on, I'm like, okay, God, like, what's next? What's next, right? Because I'm realizing that I can't move without him. Because when I say yes, he's going to say no real fucking quick, I've learned. Right? I'm talking about a couple years ago, I had brain surgery, right? I had a tumor removed out of my head. And I tell y'all, they called me 3, 4, 6, 10 times telling me, not yet. We're not going to do the surgery yet. What the fuck you mean not yet? Goddamn. But in that moment of that surgery, right, I was in ICU for 10 days. I had 2 tiny strokes. I had to learn how to fucking walk again. My back locked up on me. I'd rather have a fucking kid, the pain I endured. But in that moment, I learned again how to be fucking still. I'm talking about working a 12-step and 11-step way before I fucking get to it. And so as I'm sitting still right now, I had an addict call me and she's like, sis, like, I don't know why, but I'm going to give you the money to petition to get your kids back. I'm like, what do you mean? Huh? And I cried from Louisville to Lexington, right? Because it wasn't the fact that she said she was going to give me the money. It was the simple fact that she sees something in me that I didn't see in my fucking self. Because I'm talking about the fear that will paralyze me on any fucking given day, and the disease of addiction will tell me you're not good enough to be a fucking mother. I'm talking about that how the disease will cripple me and tell me you don't deserve them kids. But I got a higher power that says, no, not right now. He didn't say get them when you back then when I thought I was ready. Right? And so right now I'm like in this process. I applied for some housing. I put my Section 8 voucher in. Thank God for Section 8, y'all. Please, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because I don't understand how I would do it right now, right? And so I applied, I call this lady, and she's like, okay, fill out the application. I'm still talking about when God says no, y'all. And fill out the application, and then we'll accept you. So I fill it out. She accepts me. Guess what, y'all? She ain't been answering the fucking phone. I'm talking about when God says no, and I say yes, right? I'm talking about when I find a job that makes $2 more an hour than what I did and got a little bit more flexibility, and I quit the job that I had for a year, and I wake up the next morning and they fucking closed. I'm talking about stepping out on faith and God still says no. So what am I supposed to do now, God? Get up, have faith, and keep walking forward. So I'm on my way down here, and I go, and I had to get some custody papers to petition, right? And so I'm going, and I'm like, I get off work, I'm like, this is when I had the job, because I ain't have the same job right now, but it's fine. And so I go, and I walk up to the door, and I'm like, you know, I need these custody papers. She's like, okay. And I'm like, she's like, I had no money with me at the time. She's like, they're $28. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, hey, give me a second. She's like, well, 10. I said, okay, hold on. Let me text somebody. She's like, you know what? Happy birthday, Merry Christmas. I'm talking about when I wanted to go down and get my kids. I've tried twice to move down here and God said no. But when I wait on him, when my wait on my higher power, everything just seems to align. Even when it don't make sense, right? Even when the job done closed. Even when I'm like, well, where the fuck am I going to work at? Thank God I still had a restaurant job that I forgot about in the midst of my whatever I had going on, distress and fear, right? Because when I hear no, that instant gratification and that little girl pops up and I'm like, no, for real, y'all. Like, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown when I woke up and that job was closed, right? Because I'm talking about, that, like, I just knew it was going to work out. I did. When I say yes, and God says, no. That that's not it either. I'm like, well, what do you mean? So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can go back to the other job, right? Well, you've got to fill out the application and go through the process, and we'll see if you're the best candidate. I just left yesterday. What do you mean? So y'all want to train somebody else and go through the whole motherfucking process again? All right, God said no. Right? Because I start praying about it, and I'm like, well, maybe he really wanted me to get away from that job. Right? So he had to get me out of that job to bring me to this job for him to still say no. So I'm like, all right, well, I gotta go share down in Decatur. How am I gonna do that, God? Because I ain't got no money right now, right? And I'm talking about two addicts backed out on us, right? And I looked at my text my friend. I'm like, girl, what are we doing? I'm like, we're going on a wing of prayer. We're going to make it, right? Because today I live up to my commitments. Okay. Yeah. That's what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me, yeah. Right? And so as I come down the road, right, I had to pick up the petition papers, right, y'all? I go to the wrong place. When I say yes, God says no. Go to the right place. I get my petition papers, y'all. So I share all this to say, right, on my time, it never works out. But on God's time, it just somehow aligns, right? And I may not understand how it's going to work and how it's going to work out. But all I know is one thing is I don't have to fucking use today. That's the fucking hit, y'all. For 6 years, I ain't had to pick up. I ain't had to get high to fix how I feel. I sit in that shit. I sit in fetal position. I call other fucking addicts, and they restore me back to fucking sanity. So I'm here to say that if you ain't got your fucking kids, stay the fuck still.
Right.
Hold on. Trust. Have some faith, and keep on coming back. And that's all I got.
You, Dominique. Okay, I'm gonna ask Antoine and Dakota to come introduce our next speaker.
My name is Antoine. I'm an addict.
Hey, Antoine.
I appreciate the young lady that shared before. That's the way to start it off right there. Can y'all hear me? What's wrong with the mic? I gotta bend down or something? Hello? I don't like shit in my face like that. Nah, the topic, man, this topic right here is a hell of a topic, man, for both of these people. Like, God knows what he's doing. Like, for me, man, the guy that I'm finna introduce, man, like, that was my... See, I come from a place, if I had to walk in here, man, and I didn't know somebody who did this shit, and I just had to walk in here and believe y'all, I probably wouldn't be here. So God knew how to take somebody that I was out there with, allow this program to work in their life to show me that it was hope for me. So this guy is truly a blessing to me, and I do know when my head say yes, God don't come sit on my bed and tell me no. This has been the no that God speaks through in my life. And he don't say no like no. I know when he finna say no, because he say, cub. JP.
I'm Dakota. I'm a girlfriend covering addict. How you pronounce your name, young lady that you share?
Dominique.
Hey. Appreciate that. Short backstory. The drugs told me that I was somebody I wasn't, and I grew up around listening to a lot of rap music, so I would do dumb shit, right? And we ended up robbing these drug dealers, and it put a lot of people that I love in some serious heat, and the motherfucker I robbed looked just like JP when I found my home group. I said, oh God, he fucking found me. Right, And then in that moment, I said, I'll talk to him next time. And then all I heard was, nah, we ain't doing that shit. So I went up to him, asked him to be my sponsor. And ever since then, he's been pouring into me, and he walked with me to God. He didn't force God down my throat. He allowed me to make that choice myself with me. And then this is the first true, honest friend I think I've ever had in my life. JP.
The reason why I got both of them to do it is because what we had in life, we don't get to see each other that often, and they just got through celebrating some clean time, and I want to give them their hardware. So, congratulations, y'all. I'm JP. I'm a great recovering addict. Give me a second. I got to say a quick prayer. Lord, help me. Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the young lady to share her awesome testimony. And thank you for making a program like this where we're able to get extremely vulnerable and tell the details of our lives in a powerful way. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, everybody, that woman said in the other workshop, she said, I got to be careful. She read because she a klutz. And I'm a fucking klutz too, so I got to be careful. Anyway, do like it. Y'all feel that?
Yeah.
What it feel like? Feel like BB, BB, BB. It's your heart. And when I'm in a meeting, God has given me this saying when we're talking about sponsorship, because you know we say sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program. And then I say, without a heart, your body can't function. So if this motherfucker wants saying BB, I'll ask to be crooked on the floor. Wouldn't be no conversation, because the soul inside of me is going to disconnect from this body. And the heartbeat is the thing that gives me conscious in this body so I can function and relate with y'all. Reason why I say this, because I ain't talking about this fucking heart. I'm talking about your spirit has a heart that's set aside with desire and emotion. And it's the thing that affect our decision making. And y'all want to know something? It's fucked up. I got to tell you, because you need to know. The natural state of your spiritual heart is evil at its core. It's evil. That's the sucky part about our humanity, is that we grow up with something installed inside of me that's automatically of opposition with God. And he loved me enough that he take a long time with his grace window to let life circumstances set themselves up to deliver me from myself because of the evil in my heart. And so I got evil shit. I tell God ass these beautiful, phenomenal ass ideas I come up with, and they sound spiritual because I got a mind that know how to intellectualize shit today. I done been in this program for a long time. Anytime you sit somewhere for a long time, you're going to absorb the identity of that place that you've been in. Okay. That don't mean that what my head know, my heart has accepted yet, though.
Yeah.
Because I got desire in here. And it's been programmed into my default way of thinking to behave a certain way. And I don't know that I'm walking in darkness. I didn't know that my lifestyle, because I grew up from the hood, I'm a hood person. I love the hood. When I had 5, 6, 7 years clean, maybe 8, I would go to the meeting. I'm talking about sponsoring people. Go in there, motherfucker, share some fast shit. Leave out that bitch, miss the meeting after the meeting so I can go to the hood. Chill with my cousin. He's selling heroin. We talking about doing better.
Come on.
Desire. They got a meditation in the Just for the Day that says my perception of fun has to change. That's fun to me. That's all I knew. Even though I got this new way of life, I like it. But my desire to be pleasured over here in the hood is more higher than hanging out with y'all motherfucking at. Well, then one here, cuz, I'm glad you left, cuz. What you, they just got the shooting. All this shit happened. The police just hit. Now mind you, I'm on 12-year probation. Because that criminal activity, that way of life was common to me. I've been raised in it. You just don't let that go because you get some spiritual principles by this program. You can get the information all you fucking want. It don't mean that your heart is going to be the way you want according to what your knowledge is in your head. Because God got it set up like that. He got it set up where you have to collaborate so he can clean your heart. I say it all the time. God, give me a clean heart and renew me a right spirit. Please. Because I don't know how evil my spiritual heart is. He do. So it take a lifelong journey from him purifying my heart. Man, look. Ignorance. I'm talking about stupid on a petty level. So my taxes, for years, for one, let me tell you this. I've been living in lack for years. Meaning, my financial situation has been pauperized. I live about $30,000 a year. The beauty in that is because when you don't have a lot of things that the world has to offer, then you have to get rich in your faith because you can't get these physical things to make you feel secure on the inside.
Wow. I'm home.
Okay, so I've been poor. Y'all motherfuckers didn't know it, but I knew it. Paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes I ain't even get to the paycheck. I say, Mom, this was a season I had to go through. I used to work at this grocery store for $7.25 an hour for like 3 years. It's the first like committed real job I ever had. So, you know the heart, I said it's desire, but it's also emotions. We talk about the active change of ideas, attitudes, and behavior, but for some fucking reason, we always focus on the damn behavior because it makes you feel like you're in control. But your attitude, that stem from them ragged ass ideas, is what affects how you articulate or express the behavior. So it's like when you go to work, they're ready to take a worker who dumb and a motherfucker with a good attitude than a motherfucker who's skilled up but got a bad attitude because that attitude makes him teachable.
Yep.
And God don't like pride. He had a proud look. And pride is one of the things that we can't see. Mm-hmm. It looked like strength on the outside, but really it's arrogance. Mm-hmm. So look, I'm in there, bitch. Don't do not know how to function with people after they done hurt my feelings. So my boss, I placed expectations on her thinking that she's supposed to be like my former boss. And she did not live up to my expectations. And that gave me a license to misuse my right to make decisions to treat her with disrespect.
Wow.
You know, we justify outlandish bullshit. We think because somebody hurt us, we get to hurt them back.
Come on, man.
But God is testing you to see if you can forgive like he forgive your dumb ass. All these days when you offend him 24/7 a day, you offend God with your decision making.
Come on, man.
And guess what? You see, everybody do like this. Do that. You see that? Matthew said, bitch, get my eye back. Imagine if he said that.
Hell yeah.
Then what you gonna do with your right to make decisions? Okay, so he reshaping my heart. You feel? Because I'm bitter. My family dynamics, I am bitter and hostile. I have trauma with my family. We can't sit in the same room for 5 minutes without goddamn it, baby, ready to choke the shit out of each other. I brought all that shit. Bless my sponsor heart. God knew who to put in my life because I'm a lot to deal with when I'm triggered. And for the things I used to do that I can't do, I got a nasty tongue and a bad attitude. And my sponsor has been able to endure that until we got better from it. I'm at the grocery store, and she telling me to do shit, and I do it, but with a bad attitude, so she'll feel the hostility coming off my spirit, making her uncomfortable. Man, get what they did, huh? They got me the fuck up out of there. Nigga, when they got me out of there, I was lost. Because in my head, prior to building me up, that they need me. Like I'm irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Right. No, they would like me, but the attitude, they don't need. For a year to my next season, bro, this is one of the seasons that God broke down pride in my heart, because I'm an ex-drug dealer. So I was supposed to get a job, and it was supposed to work out in like 2 weeks. I was supposed to be back working. God said, nope, you don't know how fucked up your heart is, and you don't know how much pride you done built up in it, so I need you to go through something that's going to knock down pride and hurt the shit out of you and how you see yourself as a man. Mm-hmm. Man, guess how long it took me to get a job, the job I wanted? A year. I went without a job. I had unemployment. And the unemployment check ain't shit. And that motherfucker don't last that long. In there, I was the treasure of my home group. Because you got to think, man, we always talk about God, but God got an opposition. It's called the devil or the disease.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about the nature of what the devil or the disease do, because we just look at it in ourselves. We don't see it as a spirit affecting my decision, man. You see? Man, I got these folk money. I'm broke as hell. I need some gas money, man. But get what? The integrity before the trial happened transitioned when the trial happened. Damn, is that the time? No. That's right. You trying to cut me out, see how the devil works. Anyway. So look, for a whole year I'm managing people's shit without taking it. But I would have to humble myself. This shit hurt me because I would have to ask my mom, Mom, can you give me $40 for gas till I make it the next week? That shit hurt me. Because I told myself, that's why I sold dope. So I wouldn't have to ask my mama, who don't have it neither, to give. That hurt your man. When you have to humble yourself like that and ask somebody for help that you want to do for. I want to be taking care of my mama, not taking care of me. Okay. I'm 20-something. Yeah. So, but I don't have no skill set over here yet, and this is preparation for it. That's why you can't get mad at your suffering, because it's spiritual preparation for your destiny.
Oh, come on.
Man, it took them moments to reform my heart so God can input the type of desires he need into it, so when my mind come up with ideas, they're his.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, a whole year of asking my mama and my girlfriend to help me with these little bit of ass money so I could survive. Because I was waiting on God to give me what he promised. This is what you got to know. Because you're bound in a linear obligation to life, which means we live our life A, B, C, D, E, F, fucking G. Point to point.
Yeah.
That's not how God works. God created the system that your ass operating in. So why the fuck you think he bound by the rules you are? He not. How many of y'all got jobs? How many of y'all got higher powers or higher authorities other jobs? How many of y'all motherfuckers in constant relationship with them higher powers on the day? It's few. Because the people who create the rules are not bound by them like you are. My owner at the grocery store used to come in the grocery store. I used to be a cashier. Do you think she, hey JP, slide over, let me get this next person in line. You think she ever did that? Because she's not bound by the rules because she created the system. So we think God work on our time because we operate by these rules that he used to protect us from ourselves. He bend them for my dumb ass because if he kept the rules to the letter of the law, we'll be dead. But his grace and his love and his mercy abounds far and deep, so he give us a grace window, because that's what grace is. It's the time for your ass to get in alignment with what he says he spoke over your life. It's not for you to keep doing what the fuck you want to do. It's by obedience. He said, I require obedience more than sacrifice.
That's right.
We want to go give him our little deposits of sacrifice, but we don't want to be obedient to the standard that he got of our lives and wonder why we keep getting the internal chaos that we're suffering from. If y'all motherfuckers see what's going on in my head right now, y'all be like, that nigga sick. While I'm talking to y'all about this simultaneously, my devil is having another conversation in my head about, hey, when you get through doing all that good shit, what about this feel-good shit? It's a difference between doing good and feeling good. We do good with the expectations of feeling good. But when God wants us to do good, it's for his purposes.
Yes, sir.
Somebody. And we prioritize feeling good over walking our purpose. Then wonder why we feel empty on the inside. That's why you can accumulate a lot of material and still feel empty. When I do a good deed, it's got God's name attached to it, so it could be a good work. Because guess what? Anything I'm doing good, he put something in the natural order of life so I can accomplish it. Like so, fast forward, last year, 4 years, God said, go help your friend build up his businesses because that's one of my qualities. I'm a manager of other people's shit. When I sold dope, I sold plenty of dope, but it wasn't mine. It was my homeboy dope. I'm talking about he got me out here looking good. And I come home and say, cuz, this is what we made. You feel me? Here you go. And we smoke a heavy together because that was my reward. He ain't give me none of the money. And I'm taking all the chance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, some of the things you do in the name of one more. Because you got an image. Y'all motherfuckers still got an image of how you see yourself, and it don't see, it's not how God see you. It's nowhere close to it.
Wow.
Because you don't know your heart. So if motherfuckers think they know they self, you delusional. Because we get in these moments right here. Yeah, I done got a little more comfortable with who I am, but I still don't trust me. I told you I got a whole different operating system going on over here right now, and all I need is a design and opportunity, and I do it. So I went over here after God tried to get me to do it for a year. I kept saying, nah, God ain't going over there. What about when God say yes and you say no? You feel? So for a year, grace, this motherfucker said, take your ass over there, cuz, damn, please. You don't know why you gotta go. I just need you to go. Cause God ain't into giving details. Y'all get used to how we interact with each other and thank God support. He don't do that. He tell you to do something and he wants you to walk by faith, not by sight. So finally could call me and I gave into the desire and the opportunity. I take my well, cause I'm a janitor and I clean buildings and stuff. So he like, come over here, I need your help, blah, 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 blah. Now mind you, I told you God do not work on our time construct. I'm a faithful member of Not Cause and Not. But sometimes your rules don't fit my legs. You feel? So my boy, he get hot. And y'all told me we don't go with people and places and playground for my old lifestyle because it might indicate a reservation.
Okay.
That's one dimension.
Yep.
The second dimension is when you in a personal relationship with God, he has to test what he put inside of you.
Right.
And the only way that test you can pass it is if you up under your form of temptation. At the same time a test going on, the same time a temptation going on. So I went. Now mind you, this is my homeboy. I don't really know him. I know him from my brokenness. Got an acronym that we practice. How much time I got? Y'all don't know?
Fat 38.
Got an acronym. It's called Bob. B-O-B. And we practice it in here. And it's fucked up. It's called bonding over bullshit. Okay. So.
Hell yeah.
Me and my homie bond over bullshit in my former days. Fuck them niggas, man. Them niggas ain't nothing. Because he a snake, and I don't know I'm hanging around a snake. I'm a snake too, but not to the degree of him. He done fucked over everybody. So we got a, what they call it, trauma bond. Alright, but I don't know who he really is, so now I'm clean and my mind has been free and God has restored me to all this sanity and I'm walking in an intimate relationship with him. I get over here and I love Jesus. That's my God. Anybody tell me? I'm not hiding behind no high power. It's Jesus. Man. That's the God I serve. Sure. Can't help it if you don't like it. Oh well. Talk to your sponsor. So look. And I say the only reason I say that is because what I learned in here, God amplifies it in him because I got to walk and glorify his name. So sometimes when he send me to my next assignment, I can't come in the name of Narcotics Anonymous. I got to come in his name. You feel me? So I go over here and he telling me all this shit and I ain't stupid. It's always your side, that side, and in the middle somewhere is the truth. You feel me? Cool, they got them in there. Now mind you, our homegirl is the one that run this property. That's what we doing. We paint and we turn over paint clean. When you fuck with somebody every day, that somebody told me this the other day, how much time I got, because I can talk for days.
4 minutes.
4 minutes, thank you. Somebody told me this the other day, they were being petty because they know who I am and they know I don't give a fuck about your feelings if it comes to my dog. So look, they said I love you. I'ma just say that. And the Holy Spirit said, do not do it. I'm gonna tear his motherfucking ass up. Cause I done got wiser. So I could be evil, but it don't sound like evil.
Yes.
So I had to vent. That's why I love my brothers. I love that God has given me an inner sanction to give us the ability to be exactly who we are verbally, but physically live in the contradiction of that truth. I'm grateful for that. That we don't settle for, that's just how I am.
Yeah.
Or, that's how I'm going to be. Well, you telling me that God ain't bigger than your circumstances. Well, you settle. You feel? So, I didn't say this, but I thought it. I said, bitch, you don't love me. And the reason why I say that is how you going to love somebody that you don't deposit in? We don't have no day-to-day relationship where we're making investments in this love that we're creating to say that you have a genuine love for me. It's a difference from a feeling of love and the genuine love. The genuine love requires work. So, I got this half-hearted love for this devil that I work for now. And the more I'm spending time with them, more it's being revealed about who I'm in relationship and business with. And I ain't going for evil and sitting there just watching. So I start, he hit my conversations with them, and he over there snowing his powder and going to hit his little weed when he do, because this is my next assignment. Long story short, cause I got like 3 seconds left. I wish I could break it down more, but I don't got much time. It's a statement out there that said God will take from the wicked and give to the righteous. And we went through a whole lot of conflict, because that's the type of person I am. I told you my family dynamics is hostile and animosity. If you take those qualities and put them up under the right spiritual banner, you will fight boldly for God and quit just fighting battles for your own will. And he'll back it up. So I went over there and I got to see, I started telling his ass the truth. Because you know, when you got a darkness, it don't like light. God don't like light. That's why people don't like God, or they try to say higher power, God of my understanding, to keep them vague, because they don't want them to get too big so they can go be dark. You feel me? Because that's what the relationship with God is, exposure to light. And that's one of the gifts of knowing God. He's not going to let you sit in darkness. He's going to expose the light on your evil heart. Well, I was his light. He didn't like it. So he tried to X me out the hood, get me crossed out. And he didn't realize that God had already transferred the authority. So now I'm a business owner. See, it take a long time to prepare the place that you're going. Mm-hmm. But God is always doing two things simultaneous. That's why you got to stay in concert with him. He's always preparing the place.
And he's
right on time. It's a good stopping point. He's always preparing the place and preparing you for the place till y'all meet in the middle. You feel? Okay. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, brother.